it singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You're only waiting for this moment to rise. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see all your life. You're only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird fly, blackbird fly, into the light of the dark black night. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You're only waiting for this moment to rise. Blackbird fly, blackbird fly, into the light of the dark black night. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Won't you take these sunken eyes and learn to see all your life? You're only waiting for this moment to be free. You're only waiting for this moment to be free. You were only waiting for this moment to be free.
And of course that was Paul McCartney, Blackbird. We love Paul McCartney. And let's see if we can move some of this music out of the way. Excellent. And you are listening to Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium. I'm Catherine, your host for this program. And I had an opportunity to, I was invited to participate in an program, an internet program called Community Cuts. And it's a nice collaboration of people on different issues. And in this particular program, it was of a show called Planet of the People, and it is hosted and created by Nancy A. Pascal. And in this particular program, I joined her for her discussion with Joycelyn Wills. And Joycelyn is an MSN, BSN, RN, COS-C1. So she's essentially a nurse practitioner, and she's an assistant vice president and administrator, DPS, for Triborough Home Care Limited and Family Care Certified Services. And you can find out more about that at triboroughhomecare.com and familyhomecare.com. So this was an interesting conversation about Medicare and Medicare Plus, Medicare Advantage, and all those programs that allows you to, in some ways, compromise your Medicare coverage in order to receive other kinds of benefits, because Medicare only covers about 80% of your supplements. And then beyond that, you have to either pay into some kind of supplemental coverage that will cover the 20% that is not covered by Medicare. And I believe that's what AARP does. It's just a flat out supplemental coverage. But there are a lot of these other companies, healthcare companies, that offer you a deal. So I'm in that age group, so I'm always getting emails and phone calls and texts and trying to implore me to trade off my Medicare coverage for one of these managed care systems, because that's essentially what you are doing when you take one of those deals. So you might, they'll pay you a couple of $100 a month to sign into their system, and others. So they have all kinds of mechanisms to encourage people to go into those healthcare systems, the managed care systems, sort of trading off their Medicare, which literally changes access to services. So it's a complex system. And so I wanted to play this conversation for you, and hopefully I can make it work so that you can hear it and get an idea of what's actually happening from the perspective of an insider. And so I'm going to see if I can get this to play for you. And then we're playing from a video. You could find it on YouTube under Community Cuts. But I am there participating in it, and hopefully we'll be able to hear what's going on.
Okay, I'm responsible for 6 agencies. 3 of them are licensed agencies, and 3 are certified agencies. The difference between both of them is that the licensed agency provides paraprofessional, like home health aides, and the certified agency, we provide skilled care, nursing, physical therapy, social workers, any of the therapists, like the therapies, and that's what we do. But that's the difference, is that one provides paraprofessional and one provides skilled care, and we can bill Medicare and CMS Medicare.
Okay. And I think that is some of the things that we wanted to talk to you about today. That's why, you know, you're so important, because you're on the ground. And so you're, you know, I think a lot of times people don't see how policies work on the ground. You know, they make up these laws, these rules, but they don't necessarily see how they are actually affecting the community. And one of the most powerful things was our conversation on Medicare versus managed care, and really people understanding what the difference is. Would you be able to tell us a little bit about, you know, Medicare, managed care?
Sure. The major difference between Medicare and Medicaid and managed care is autonomy, if I should have to say that way. You have a choice of who is your provider, who provides care to you, where do you go to access care, okay? Medicare, you have a choice of choosing whichever provider that you want, whichever hospital you want to go to. Let's say that you're in Puerto Rico and you are in another state and you need healthcare. You can access healthcare. You bill Medicare. Now, if you have managed care, it doesn't work like that. You can only access care based on if the provider is in the network. So you can only choose providers within the network. You can only choose facilities within the network. Most of the time, if they don't operate outside of New York State, then you cannot receive care. You're considered out of network. You have to pay and then submit the bill to your managed care, and then they will now reimburse you, may or may not reimburse you. So it's just a matter of you have a choice. You actually controlling what happens to your life and actually controlling the type of services that you will be getting. Managed care, you don't have a choice. In fact, they are controlling what happens to you. Not even your doctor controls you anymore once you have managed care. It's all based on the, they said they have like a medical director, and he makes all the decisions. He doesn't know who you are. He doesn't know who your needs are. All he knows is that when he look at what you need, he look at the money, what it's going to cost them to provide this care. Okay. And if it's going to cost too much, then the service is going to be denied. So it's just your access to care, who provides the care to you. You give up your choice when you go to managed care.
Well, this is very confusing, because a person who ends up on Medicare as a result of reaching a certain age, how do they get hoodwinked out of their services to be on managed care? And how do you stay out of it? Because my understanding is that they keep sending all of these mailers to you, and then they say, if you don't choose, we'll assign you somebody. So do we really have a choice? I don't know. How does that work?
You do have a choice. If you have met, the only choice that you made that you don't have in New York State is if you have Medicaid. If Medicaid is your primary insurance, or your, then you don't have a choice. You're automatically in New York State, you're automatically signed into a managed care company. But if you have Medicare, you have a choice. You don't have to go into a managed care. You're not automatically enrolled into a managed care. The choice is yours. And why the choice is yours? Because if you have straight Medicare, you're responsible for 20% of the bill, because Medicare only pays 80%, right? So most people will go to a managed care because the managed care is going to tell them, I'm going to pay you 20%. You don't have to worry about the 20% anymore, right? So if you go to the hospital, then you don't have to worry about that 20%, because we'll absorb that, okay? You go to the doctor's office, you don't have a 20%. We would pay for that. So they take on that 20%, so you don't have to pay it. So most elderly people is going to go with that, because guess what? They don't want to have a supplement insurance, which is going to cost more money for them, because a supplement insurance covers the 20%, which is AARP. AARP is a secondary insurance, and most people get it to cover that 20% so they can stay within the Medicare streamline, is in opposed to going to a managed care. So most people who cannot, go ahead.
I just wanted to stop you right there. I'm so sorry to interrupt you, but if you could just repeat the last thing you said. What you're saying is that Medicare and managed care, that 80%, you don't have to worry about, that there are things in the middle, besides AARP, are there other things besides that? Like, say you own a house, or you have property, or you have a pension, you know, would you still be able to get those services?
Well, the services, are you referring to Medicare or managed care?
Medicare.
Medicare is a freelance insurance. You're entitled to everything that you're supposed to get. You can own a house, you can own anything and still get Medicare, because it's an insurance that's entitled to you because you have actually worked in the country, you have paid your taxes, you have worked your 10 years, you have done everything. So you are entitled to Medicare. This is what they give you for being a good citizen per se, right? Or working hard. So you get that. But they only pay 80%. So you are responsible for the 20%. Of what's left of that bill. So that's all they pay is 80%, and you responsible for 20%.
And they pay so, that 80% in 7 days, no?
Yes, they do. Yes.
They pay it quickly.
They pay really quick. That's why most people want that. They want the Medicare patient, because it means that their revenue is coming in really fast.
Okay. And when you have managed care, does that revenue come in fast?
No. Sometimes they take up to 6 months to pay you, if you get paid at all, because what they do is that they use a trick. They'll send it back to you. They'll say that the claim was not clean. You have to submit it again. Then they said another reason. And then next thing you know, they said then they call it untimely filing. So you're fighting with them just to be paid, back and forth all the time, sending the claims back. They find all the different reasons, and then end up it's out of the time frame, and you don't get paid. So they have a lot of games they play.
So how does that then affect your health care? So when you go to a doctor and they see that you have managed care, what is the
well, first of all, if the doctor is part of the network, then they'll take you. Some doctors, they just stop taking that insurance because they're not getting paid. But if they're part of the network, they'll take you, and then they'll fight with the network. And then after a while, they just stop taking that insurance. Like, for instance, I can just tell you at my facility, I stopped taking, there's an insurance called My Nexus, which is Blue Cross Blue Shield. I stopped taking it because they don't pay well. And now the ownership is on the agency to provide all these documentation to even get an authorization for the patient. This patient's request is need services. And before I can even get an authorization, I have to presume to produce all of these documents. It's not worth it. No other managed care access for that. So we just stopped taking them. So that's what happens. Like they make it so, you know, hard on the provider that after a while you just say it's not worth it because I have to wait 6 months to get paid anyway. So it don't make a difference.
Can you tell from your point how this makes a difference in what people, what kind of care people can have access to, even if you're accepting the provider? Do they have to get permission from the provider to give the services that the doctor wants to give?
Of course, the doctor is the provider. If I'm a provider and if I'm a doctor and I have a patient in my office and they have a managed care, everything that I want for this patient must be authorized. There's some services that may not need authorization, but most of the services are managed care has to be authorized. So what they can do is that it's called a referral. They'll give you a referral. They'll write up a referral and they'll say, hey, you need an x-ray, you can go to Dochi, okay, if they call that anymore. And then you get the referral, you go to Dochi. When you get to Dochi said, hey, you gotta wait, I gotta get authorization. Even though your doctor wants this x-ray, I gotta get authorization. Dochi gets on the phone, they have to call up because they don't want to find the service, so they have to get authorization to provide that service. They get on the phone, they call, they have the insurance company. The insurance company says, no, sorry, not approved. Guess what? You can't have the test done. You can do an appeal, but again, that's gonna take a long time. So you go back to your doctor and you say, hey, they wouldn't do it. So then she'll say, let me look for another test that they might approve. You know what I'm saying? So of course, you end up getting something called fragmented care.
Thank you. I want you to say more about that, the fragmented care, because I think a lot of people don't understand Medicare, right? And that you can not only receive Medicare because you worked and you, you've turned, is it 65?
Yeah.
But also if you have a debilitating illness like cancer, right? Or
dialysis,
you can also get Medicare. So this doesn't just affect the 65 or over, but it also affects working class people, but also people who are chronically ill. And what I'm finding, and I want to know if this is true, I live in a neighborhood that's extremely diverse. And when I talk to white seniors, they know, they say, oh, I would never switch. I hang up on them. They quite understand that they don't give up their Medicare and they won't give up their Medicare. But if I go uptown, deeper into Brooklyn, I go into immigrant communities, they're actually being paid by managed care to manage their insurance. And many times these are people who can have access to the best doctors in New York City, but because they switch to managed care, they lose that access.
Exactly.
Is that correct?
Yeah, it's not only in your neighborhood. The folks that live on Ocean Parkway, no one touches their Medicare. They actually do something called a pool trust, and they get Medicaid to pay the extra 20%. It's called a pool trust. They pay the extra money, they get an attorney, and they do a pool trust. But no one touches their Medicaid because they understand what it really means, right? So they'll never go into a managed care. They'll do everything to get that pool trust, but they will never, ever go into a managed care because of the fact is that they already understand and they're taught that this is what happens. You have given up your right to get access to the care that you need. Now, it affects our community because we're not.
I'm just going to pause. We did get a call saying that if you want to access your Medicare, you have to look for your original Medicare. Because the situation is very confusing, you want to go into your original Medicare so that you don't get siphoned into one of these other formats. But we're going to be looking at it a little bit more. Thank you.
We got the blessing of the voice of Brother Aaron Nelly.
Ah, 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 ah.
They're not taught about what happens when you do this. And then they come into our community and they pay us. They said, hey, guess what? They give them a check every single month, and they figure that, oh, I'm getting this for free just for joining them, and they get accustomed to getting that check. So when it comes time to give it up, it's like, I can't even talk to some of my folks about this because the first thing they said to me, what's going to happen to that check that I get every single month? What are you going to give me? I don't have anything to give you. Then I'm not going to switch because this is what they're accustomed to. As a matter of fact, right now, before I called you, I had a patient I'm working with. She actually, I went to open her case on December 22nd. And she was my patient prior to that. And I realized when I ran her insurance that it told me on the 1st of January, she's going to Empire Blue. So when I got there, I said, hey, did you know you're going? Why did you switch from Medicare to Empire Blue? She said, I did not. I said, yes, you did. She said, I did not. And I said, okay, then let's sit down and call Medicare. So I called Medicare with her, and Medicare told her, yes, you switched. She said, I never switched. I never spoke to anyone. So they said, you did, because now, as of January 1, you no longer have Medicare, and you no longer have your medication plan anymore. Everything is gone out of whack now. So she said, they said, okay, if you didn't make the choice to go to them, you need to call. She gave us the number. She said, you need to call them and tell them you want to disenroll. I actually sat there for 2 hours with this patient. We called you. If I was an elderly, if she didn't have me, I wonder what would have happened. 2 hours I was on the phone back and forth, cutting me off, because Medicare told me you must get a number, a reference number. Finally, I got someone on the phone. And I, you know, and I told him that I called Medicare and we're going to put in an appeal against what you did to me, to this patient. And she took all the information and she said she was going to disenroll the patient. I said to her, can I have the reference number? She was kind of taken back. What do you mean a reference number? I said, I need a reference number. Medicare said I should get a reference number from you. So she gave me the reference number. I wrote it down. I didn't feel comfortable with it. I didn't feel it was a real reference number, but I wrote it down anyway. So come the 1st of January, of course, we ran, you know, she called me, the patient called me, because of course now her insurance switched. It literally switched to this new insurance that she didn't sign up for. So I said to her, I said, let's call back Medicare. Let's give it about 5 days call back. So about the 10th, we call Medicare and they're like, there's nothing we can do. We didn't receive any information from your insurance that you signed up with. So I was like, you know, look, can I speak to a supervisor? Because at this point in time, I'm involved and I'm just not going to have it go down like this. To make a long story short, supervisor said to me, she's going to try to override it and put it in and all this stuff. So we waited. Now my patient calls me last week. She's like, Joyce, I can't get no medication. I can't get nothing. She's like in tears. I can't go to my doctor. There's nothing that I can do. Call back Medicare. Medicare says to us, we still haven't gotten anything. We already have an escalation on it. You have to wait. So then I said, okay, we call back. So we call back the managed care company. Same thing happened. They kept cutting the phone off. Finally, I told them, I said, listen, I'm calling. I've had enough of this. I'm calling the news. I'm calling elder abuse. I said, I've had enough of this. Okay. I said, I'm not accepting this. So then I finally got to speak to someone. And you know what he told me? I said, I'm black, but I was turning red. The lady did not even put in the request on the 22nd to disenroll her. Did not do it. I was like, and he said to me, I said, oh, are your calls recorded? He said, yes. So I said, well, I'm going to make an official report on her, okay? Because this is really an abuse of the elderly, right? So then he told me I had to now go. She had to now write a letter, and then we had to fax it to them. Mm-hmm. And on the letter, he told me exactly what we had to say. So I had to go to the patient's house. I typed up the letter for her, made her sign it. And now we fax it to them. They told us as of the 1st of February, she will be disenrolled because right now she's within the 3 months. Because even though the open enrollment started, you know, they switched over in January, they have 90 days that they can still switch. And after that, that's it. So she's within that same period. So we're able to they're going to try to disenroll her. But this is just some of the things that they're doing. So the lady from Medicare said to us to put Medicare number in her phone. And that's something I should do. This is something that you should tell. Oh, hold on a minute. You should tell all of your elderly to put that number in their phone as a contact. So whenever someone call and say, I'm calling for Medicare, and that number doesn't show up as a Medicare, you just hang the phone up. Okay? Yeah. But that number needs to be as a contact for all elderly people.
Tell me the number. I have something I can put up also. I'm going to give some resources at the end of this because there's also a nonprofit that is now working with people to help you figure out. Some people have no idea that managed care isn't Medicare. That's how confused people are. They don't know. They think it's an extension of. And, you know, Joyce, I want to ask you something because is it what happened to Medicaid? Is that what's happening to Medicare? Because Medicaid also, wasn't it directly, Medicaid was given directly to doctors and now Medicaid is sort of managed care now? You can get like Blue Cross.
It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. It's totally different because you have to remember it's two different insurances. Medicare is given care. Medicaid is given aid. So it's, Medicaid is based on an income and Medicare is not based on an income. So it's two different things.
Okay. Okay.
So what happened to your client that you were working with? So it leads me to believe that there's some kind of telephone fraud, like somebody trying to call you and any other kind of fraud, just outright fraud. Is that the case? Should somebody charges against this
industry? Well, they know that. They know that because the lady from Medicare actually said to me, she said, it happens every single year. This is what they do. That's why she said that all you have, she told my, because the client was on the phone, because, you know, I can't speak to them without them being on the phone. And she told my patient, she said, listen, I'm going to look for the number and I'll text it to you, Nancy. Okay. But what she said is that she said, put this number in the phone. And because when they, you know how they get them, you know how they get the elderly people? They said, I'm calling from Medicare. That's what the lady from Medicare said to me. She said, they tell you, I'm calling from Medicare. She said, Medicare never, ever calls you. We never call you. And if we call you, this is the number we will call you from. Regardless if you're working from home, this will be the number we will be calling you from. So they get the elderly by saying, I'm calling for Medicare. Hi, I'm calling for Medicare. So they said, once you say, okay, then you're gone. That's it. They said just that one word. Okay. Hi, you're gone. So they told you, she told my patient, you do not even talk with them. You just hang the phone up. But a lot of elderly people don't know this. Like, for instance, let me give you another example. I had a patient, he passed on now, but his daughter called me on a Saturday. She said, Joyce, I just got a call from Medicare, and they told me, I said, no, you didn't. I said, Medicare did not call you, and they shouldn't call you on a Saturday, okay? I said, whoever is that lady that you spoke to, you better call her back, and you better tell her no, and tell her this is fraud, and I'm going to report you. So she did. She called her back and she said, this is fraud. You're not Medicare. Why are you calling saying you're Medicare? I'm going to report you. And the lady at that point in time revealed herself to her and said, yes, I'm calling from whatever insurance it was. And I'm trying to make you to offer you something better. And she said, no, I'm not interested in nothing better. And I'm going to report this. And that's how she laid off of her. But if she didn't have the wits to call me and say to me, Joyce, listen, I got a call from Medicare because I was trying to get him into a special program. So she was worried if she wouldn't get into the program. So that's why she called me. Now, had I not been working with her, he would have been switched over. Easy.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm.
So it is all about education.
And that's what I'm finding. The communities where there's wealth, they completely understand this concept. Mm-hmm. And African Americans, immigrants, wealthy or not, have no understanding of what is happening with their health care. And my only thought is that when people are facing these situations, they're either elderly or they're sick. Mm-hmm. And they're in crisis. And so we're not hearing the voices of people suffering, not getting served. Many people, and what I've heard is that there's actually class action lawsuits that are going to be starting, that a lot of people that had managed care during COVID passed because they weren't getting any care.
Wow.
Yeah.
They needed to stay in the hospital longer. They were kicked out. They mm-hmm. needed home attendance services, never got them. Mm-hmm. And people got sicker and died. And so many of the people, you know, we were affected by COVID very much so. But when we talk about our healthcare system and where it lacks and where it falls, this is exactly the kind of policies that happen where mm-hmm. we get not only the short end of the stick, we actually give up our rights. We give up the best healthcare service to get the mm-hmm. worst. Mm-hmm. Or to get things that do not serve us. And yeah. So I'm so grateful for you to be on this call, to be able to sort of share these kinds of stories, because I really feel that this is also leads right into our mental health crisis, because these insurance companies are not paying for that either.
No.
You know, they're not paying for people to even stay in a hospital.
You know? Yeah, it's all about the money. You have to understand it's not about the patient. It's not about the needs of the patient. It comes down to the dollars. Because first you have to remember is that once these managed care companies don't, whatever monies that they have at the end of the year is divided up amongst the CEOs. So they get a big bonus. Okay. So the more services that they don't give you is the more monies that they have left at the end of the year. So that's just what it's all about. It's not about the patient care. It's all about the money. And the only two insurance that... Go ahead.
Wait, and tell me how they get paid regardless. Like once you switch to managed care, they're getting a check. Is that correct?
Yeah. That what happens is that these managed cares, what they have done is that they've gone to CMS Medicare and said, hey, you know what? I'm going to say, I can save you money. Because, of course, medical care is costly. So they said, I'll save you money. Let's say you do an average of, you pay out $12,000 a year. I can provide the same services that you would have provided, and it would be like $800 a year. So Medicare is looking at it like, I'm saving money. Instead of paying $1,200, I'm going to pay $800. So then they do contracts with all of these managed care companies because they're going to save them money. So now the managed care company comes out in the front and Medicare steps back in the back. Let me tell you, you will always have Medicare, right? Because at any because during that enrollment period, you can go back. You have to stick with what you have until October, right? But you can always go back. And let's say that you do have, let's say during that year, you end up getting Medicaid, right? At that point in time, you don't need the managed care anymore. Medicare can step back in the front, and then the managed care is gone. So it's like that. It's lurking behind. It always stays behind. It's like Big Brother watching you, right? So it just steps back. It doesn't come out of your life. It just steps back. It plays no role in anything, but it's there. It's just watching everything, okay?
And so when you go to managed care, what happened was they said, okay, this patient averages about $12,000 in costs over the years. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so
yeah.
They actually negotiate a flat fee of what they're going to be willing to allow you to have. So if you get actually sicker and your cost more this year, then what they do is just find ways to not pay for your health care.
Right. Because what happens is that, let me tell you, 7 out of 10 times, they're the winner. Because you know why? Most patients for the whole year may never go to the doctor, okay? Most patients, if they go one time, that might be it, okay? Or they may not go at all. They may not even access any type of medical care. But you know what? They get paid every single month for Medicare.
Whoa. Thank you for saying that.
Well, so can you outline strategy for people who are approaching the years of Medicare and how do they navigate this whole system so that they don't end up being hoodwinked in this way?
Well, you have to decide. It's an individual choice. You have to decide if you want to pay the 20%, if you want to, if you don't mind paying the 20% and you can get an AARP, which is a supplemental insurance, you have to make that decision. Yeah, you have to make that decision as an individual. You are the individual that has to make that decision. No one knows what your needs are, what you can afford. So it's definitely, that's an individual decision. But I think having the information to make those decisions can be helpful. Okay? Because if you chose to go the route of having straight Medicare, you have to understand that you're responsible for 20%. You also have to understand that you can get AARP, which is a supplemental insurance, and they pay the 20%. So you never have to worry.
How much does that cost about a month for an AARP?
About $200-something.
A year or a month?
A month. It depends. Sometimes they go on your asset. So it depends. I've known people that paid up to $300 a month.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then paying them the $300 a month, then your 20% is covered for any kind of hospital and you get to go to the best of whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yes, for everything.
And then what about the pool gap? How do people do that?
So you have the pool trust.
Mm-hmm, pool trust, sorry.
The pool trust, yeah. The pool trust is actually what a lot of the Caucasians are doing. They actually get the pool trust where they actually, an attorney sets up a pool trust. Now there is something called, and I promised someone I was going to send them that information. It's like, it's a van that goes around, a legal van that goes around. And what they do, they help the elderly to actually, set up a pool trust. Okay. And, there's attorneys that do it, but they've gotten so slick with it because what's happening now is that people use the pool trust to get Medicaid, right? And you want the pool, you want that Medicaid because remember, Medicaid also pays for the extra 20%, right? So a lot of people, they do the pool trust and they get, and they may never access personal care, but they have the Medicaid, which covers that 20%. So a lot of places have gotten really slick. What they do is that they do the pool trust for free, and then now you have to join them and go with a managed care to manage it if you need personal care. So that's what they do. They found ways to go around it. I mean, but anyway, there is a legal, I forgot what it's called. I think it's New York Legal, whatever services. And there used to be, before COVID, there used to be a van that goes around. It goes around to all of the city hospitals. If you belong to the city, if you go to any of the city hospitals, that service is free. But if you don't belong to them, the city hospitals, you can't do it. I know that, Congressman or Senator, whatever his name is, Mattu, they used to go to his office. They used to go to And there's a guy on Avenue D called Jemani. He used to be on Avenue D. The van used to go to his office. So that he had helped a lot of people in the community because they were in.
Okay, so I'm just pausing this for a moment. And I can't begin to be counsel on this because I find myself awash myself in confusion. Luckily, I haven't at this stage switched over to one of these managed care campaigns, mostly because I'm just lazy. I didn't, bother with it. But as it turns out, it is something to consider whether or not it's worthwhile. And later on in this particular program, it's called Planet of the People, and it is hosted by Nancy Pascal. And you could find it on an internet network called Community Cuts. And it's all about really bringing information to people as well as providing a platform for those who don't have a voice, not dissimilar from what we do here. But I wanted to give you the number that they were speaking of. It's Medicare Rights Center. The Medicare Rights Center, and that number is 800-333-4114. That's the Medicare Rights Center, 800-333-4114. And they also have a website, and you can check that out. And it's medicarerights.org. The Medicare Rights Center is a nonprofit organization founded in June 1989 as the Medicare Beneficiaries Defense Fund, and it was funded by Diane Archer. So that would be a resource if you are as confused as I have been. I found another website that's really seems to be more authentic, and it says applyformedicare.com. So I don't know that this is a real authentic site. It's made up really nice, and it looks, has a little American flag, but you can at least take a look at it. And then down at the bottom, it actually gives you, if you really are applying for Social Security and you're interested in your Medicare, it is probably best to go directly to the Social Security Department. That's where it comes through, socialsecurity.gov, socialsecurity.gov. And you can contact a Social Security representative by dialing 1-800-772-1213. So I'm myself a little bit confused about all this, and I don't know quite how to navigate, I think, probably any more than anyone else does, which is why I was really very much interested. So I went directly to the Social Security website, and it ends up going ssa.gov. So I'm going to take back that other site and just say, if you want to find out what's really happening and what your real options are, I would say make sure that there's a .gov at the end of that place you're entering, so that you're not looking at one of these pseudo sites that is trying to entice you to hand over your Social Security Medicare benefits in place of one of these managed care plans. So I just wanted to bring that conversation out there because it's something that I've been trying to navigate myself. For those of you who want to listen to the whole interview, if you give me a little time, I will put the link up in the archive page where you would go to listen to the program. I'll put the link to the video and the information that you can follow up on to educate yourself. And the number that was given in the program is the Medicare Rights Center, 800-333-4114. And you can find out how to navigate this process and navigate yourself back into the Medicare program if that's what you choose. In this interview, it goes on to distinguish where there are some really good managed care plans and some really flaky ones. So it's not a monolith. There are different ways that you can engage with the process, find the right program for yourself. And I'm going to myself keep looking at this and see if I can find folks with more definitive information. And we will continue the conversation and find out what we can learn more about navigating our Social Security benefits, our Medicare benefits, our healthcare benefits. But I think that this is really of significance because it is true that what's happening for people who are jumping on these programs, being enticed by, oh, you know, you don't have to worry about, we'll cover that extra 20%, or we'll even pay you a couple of $100 a month, we'll give you this card and you can do your shopping. So there are all of these schemes that are very confusing, and we are a bit late in the season, so not knowing so much what we can do to help people navigate this in whatever time is left of this open enrollment period. How do we circumvent it? How do we disenroll from something we don't want and roll back into Medicaid? So I'm going to keep following this story, keep following this information, because the truth is that every year it comes around again where you can choose how you want to manage your health care through Medicare. And from my personal perspective, I think I would rather have original Medicare from the point of view that maybe I like to travel. I want to have something that is going to be accepted everywhere. I don't want to be limited within a small system where I can't choose my doctors, I can't choose my hospitals. So you have to decide what is really important to you and then see what kind of supplement can be added to that. So this is a story I'm going to continue to follow so that we can help each other along as we age gracefully and figure out how to aid navigate these systems, but also advocate for ourselves politically with regard to healthcare and why it is, because it used to be back in the day, these things would just cover everything, Medicare, Medicaid. Before all the privatization was inserted into the system, people were pretty much covered. So I think we have to learn a lot more how to navigate the healthcare system and how to advocate for ourselves and perhaps pull out of the money incentive that we have been as a whole sucked into. So I'm going to thank you and thank our guest today on our program, and it's Planet of the People, hosted by Nancy Pascal. And you can find the program itself, because there's a lot going on this platform, Community Cuts. So I'll make those links available to people. You know, it's because it's community people sharing information with each other, asking relevant questions as we move forward with all of the dynamics of politics that compromise the most vulnerable within our communities, within our families, and we hope to change that with information and with advocacy. So thank you. For those of you who want to connect, please do call us at, not call us, come to email. You can email myself at heartofmindradio@gmail.com, heartofmindradio@gmail.com. Thank you.
of cards as a meditation. And those he plays never suspect. He doesn't play for the money he wins. He doesn't play for respect. He deals the cards to find the answer. The sacred geometry of chance, the hidden law of a probable outcome, the numbers lead a dance. I know that the spades are the swords of a soldier. I know that the clubs are weapons of war. I know that diamonds money for this art, but that's not the shape of my heart. He may play the jack of diamonds, he may lay the queen of spades, he may conceal a king in his hand while a memory of it fades. That the spades are the swords of a soldier. I know that the clubs are weapons of war. I know that diamonds mean money for this art, but that's not the shape of my heart. That's not the shape. Something wrong. I'm not a man with too many faces. The mask I wear is one. For those who speak know nothing and find out to their cost, like those who curse their luck. Those who fear are lost. I know that the spades are the swords of a soldier. I know that the clubs are weapons of war. I know that diamonds mean money for this art, but that's not the shape of my heart. That's not the shape of my heart. That's not the shape of my heart.